Thank you for downloading today's podcast from Pastor Cheryl Brady. We pray that you'll be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
He sent for me. He loosed me. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when you don't praise him, you are suggesting that you got where you are by yourself. Oh, but can I tell you, it was not you. It was God that preserved you and kept you. And if he had not kept you, oh, you would not even be here. And if he kept you when you were not thinking about him, how much more is he going to keep you right now? Oh, look at somebody and tell him, you know he's got you. You know he's got you. You know he's got you. I rebuke every spirit in hell that would try to tell you, you are not going to make it now. Oh, if he kept you in sin, you know he's going to keep you now. Loose him and bring him to me, because I kept him for this moment. I kept him for this day. I kept him for this season. I have preserved him and brought her to the kingdom for such a time. He's tied up, but he's mine. He's tangled up, but he's mine. She's bound, but she's mine. Oh, she's got some issues, but she's mine. There's some habits he needs to break, but he's mine. Got some hang-ups he needs to hang up, but he's mine. Oh, he is mine. I haven't been able to use him yet, but I will, because he's mine. Loose him. He is mine. Loose him from every hindrance. Loose him from every limitation. Loose him from every weight. Loose him from every distraction. Loose him from every flashback. Loose him from every failure. Loose her from every yoke, every chain. Loose her, because the master hath need of. Look at five people and tell him he needs me. He needs me. You may not need me. Oh, but God. God needs me. He loves me and he needs me. Whew. I'm so glad to be needed. My God, I'm glad that he knows everything about me, but he still needs me. Ooh. How in the world? So now I'm almost done, but I'm going to give you something to take home. Because at the Potter's House North, I inspire you, but I'm going to give you something to take home. Look at somebody, tell him, open your bag, open your bag. Pastor's got something for you to take home. They bring the coat. They loose him. They bring him. And the master. The master has need of him. He rides him into Jerusalem. It's so funny, because people start laying down their palm branches. And they took their coats and things off, and they laid it down there. See, the good thing about a donkey is he doesn't see things like you think. When this whole story unfolded, he don't think in human terms. He thinks in donkey terms. So when he comes into the city, all he sees is people throwing palm branches. And he sees people throwing their coats down. Dude, I am somebody. I mean to tell you, I am some. Ooh, I ain't never had treatment like this before. Ooh, man. He don't realize that there's something on him. Tell your neighbor, it ain't you, it's what's on you. Oh, it ain't you. Don't ever think that it's you. It's the fact that something is on you. He sat on me. He sat down on me. He sat down on my old ways. He sat down on my flesh. He sat and he opened doors. I thought they just were opening for me. But the truth of the matter is they to the door and start thinking it was you that got the door open. Oh, no. It was what was on you. Thank you for what's on me. Woo! Because when it's on you, he'll open a door that cannot be opened. I said he'll make a way that cannot be made, not because of you, but because of what's on you. How, my question today is this. How could he be under so much pressure and still keep moving? He kept moving. How could he have so much going on outwardly and still have peace inwardly? He was misunderstood by people. He was criticized by people. He was ridiculed by people. He was lied on by people. I mean, how can you have all of that weighed on you and you not cave in and to the pressure? How could he do that? He was human. Never forget that he was human. So he could feel all of that. So I'm going to give you 6 things and you got to write them quick because I'm tired. Sometimes I think stuff just comes out and I'm like, I didn't filter that. I didn't really say that. It's just like, pew. I'm going to give you 6 principles. Here's the deal. He's under pressure, but he keeps moving. It's so crazy. It's like when the Bible talks about run with patience the race that is set. How do you run and be patient at the same time? It almost sounds like an oxymoron. How can you do that? And the way you do that is you're running on the outside, but you're still on the inside. Because we can't just stop. So you're running on the outside. I got to have the kids over here by this time, and I got to get this child to the. She's got to go to the orthodontist, and he's got to get to the soccer game, and then I got to get back home, and I got to cook dinner, and I got to get ready for homework, and all of that stuff. I got to get the kids in the bath. I got to get a bath, and then I got to throw some clothes in the laundry. I got to tuck them in. I got to check out their homework, make sure everything is done. And it's like you're running, but the only way you can run the race with patience is though you're running out here, you're at peace in here. So that's why the enemy comes to attack your peace. The Bible says guard your heart and your mind. Because see, what happens is if the enemy comes after you and you don't and he gets your peace, if you allow him to have your peace, then he has direct access to your heart and access to your mind. And the next thing you know, you have shipwrecked because you have allowed him to have access. So guard your heart and your mind. Look at somebody tell you better guard your mind. You ain't got much left. You better guard what you got. No, don't say that. Bad pastor. So I'm going to close with this. Write down these 6 words for me. I'm going to give you 6 principles that are going to enable you to have peace under pressure. If you haven't shouted, you probably won't, but if you listen close, it'll be worth your while. Number 1, identification. Identification. Write that down. Number 2, dedication. Dedication. Identification. Dedication. Number 3, organization. 1 is identification. 2 is dedication. 3 is organization. 4 is concentration. So we have identification, dedication, organization, concentration. Make sure you write these down. Because you're going to be calling me this week and you say, I need peace, Pastor. I'm going to say, get the tape. Because when I gave you the chance to write them down, well, I'm not going to say get the tape. I'm going to say get the CD. Identification, dedication, organization, concentration. Number 5, delegation. And number 6, meditation. There are your 6 principles that if you'll master them, you'll be empowered
to have peace under pressure. Under next to identification, right? Go back up to that and say, you got to know who you are. So you've got identification on the side of it, right? You've got to know who you are. Add a scripture to that if you want to, John 8 and 12. For the Bible says, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said to them, I am the light of the world. He said, I am. So what did he do? He defined himself. If you actually look through the scripture, there is at least 18 times in scripture where he said, I am somebody. Okay? He said, I am the light. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the one who testifies of myself. 18 times he said, I am something. Because in order to have peace under pressure, you got to know who you are. I said, you got to know who you are. Because if you do not know who you are, then people will manipulate you into what they want you to become. And there's nothing worse than the feeling that comes when you know you're trying to do something that's not you. And so a lot of stress comes into our lives because we wear a mask and we're not honest with ourselves and we're not honest with other people. And so it leaves us fighting with insecurities. And insecurities always, always, insecurities always produce pressure. For when we are insecure, we feel this crazy pressure to perform. Oh, so I gotta be above and beyond because I am insecure. Or we set these unrealistic goals or unrealistic standards. And when we fail to meet the unrealistic goals that we have set, then we get under tension and we get up under pressure. And one of the best ways to know who you are is for you to understand whose you are. And the very fact that you are God's, the very fact that you know the price he paid so that it could redeem you, it ought to tell you that you are something. It makes me to know that I am somebody. So if you don't like me and you won't give me anything, if you won't give me the time of day, if you won't give me a stick of gum, it's okay. I still know that I am somebody because I am God's child. I am the apple of his eye. He gave his only begotten son so that I could have life. He loves me. He fiercely loves me. I don't care who don't love me. Walk out of my life and leave me. It's okay. I will always be loved. I am loved by the Savior. I am accepted by him. The Bible said, I am accepted in the beloved. I am significant. And until you really know that, you will always feel like you got pressure, and pressure brings you insecurity. The second thing you got to do to have peace under pressure is you've got to know who you're trying to please. You got to know. So under number two, write that right there. I got to know who I'm trying to please. The scripture for that is John 5 and 30. It says, Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. For as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but I seek the will of the Father which has sent me. So next to dedication, I want you to write, know who you're aiming to please or know who you're trying to please. He's saying here, he said, I only do what I hear my Father say do. So whenever I do something, it's just because I know my Father said do it. And see, here's the deal. You cannot please everybody. Isn't that good to know? I mean, I just can't. And until you really admit that and recognize that, you'll be a nervous wreck trying to make everybody happy. I can't please everybody. And guess what? God couldn't please everybody either. So it's foolish for me to try to do something that even God himself could not do. And so Jesus settled it when he said, okay, that's it. I'm only going to do that which my Father says do. And then Jesus says, okay, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well well, please. Because when you don't know who you are, when you don't know who you are, you're going to be trying to please everybody. And in the middle of that, you're going to cave in. You'll cave into criticism. Because if they critique you for being this way and you want to be liked, you'll be like, okay, so then I'm going to do better. And I'm going to try to do that. Or they will. Or you'll cave into competition. And you'll think just because somebody else is running 100 miles an hour that you got to run 100 miles an hour. But you ain't built to run 100 miles an hour. And if you're not careful, you're going to wear yourself out and fall short of the goal. But when you understand this is me, this is my lane, this is my goal, and my only competition is myself. I'm not competing against you, and I'm not competing against you. You can minister to 100, and I can minister to 25, because I still don't feel competition, because I understand this is where I am. So in order to have peace under pressure, we've got to simplify our life, and we got to release the pressure. And we do that by identifying who you are aiming to please. I am not aiming to please you. I am not aiming to compete with you. At the end of the day, I'm doing it for God. It is God that I am after. I will always fall short in your book, but I am going to be on target in his book. Identify. The third thing you have to do in order to have peace under pressure is you got to know what you want to accomplish. So next to the word organization, right, I got to know what I want to accomplish. In other words, you have to set priorities. Because if you don't set priorities, you will live under pressure. I said, if you don't set priorities, you will live under pressure. Because the truth of the matter is, you will either live by priorities or you will live by pressure. By priorities or by pressure. And if you're not careful when you're living by pressure, you will try to live up under the tyranny of the urgent. Everything is urgent. You got anybody in your life like that? You know what I'm saying? They just like, everything is urgent. And you know when their number comes up on the caller ID, they're like, they want it right now. They want a haircut right now. They want answers right now. They want an appointment right now. They can't do like everybody else. They want it. Everything is urgent. Now, let me tell you something. If a car fell on one of my grandchildren, I would run out there. And guess what I would do? I would pick up that car and I would get my grandchild out. And you might say, I don't think so. You try me here, buddy. I dare you to think that my grandbaby's going to be trapped and think that, oh, no, you coming up. I don't care what in the world you are. I don't care how much you weigh. You know why? Because I am emotionally attached to that. And so I'm going to get my child. I'm going to get what I love out of harm's way. Now, if it's somebody I don't know, I'm sorry. I started to say, if it's somebody I don't know, I might not use my energy. But that's not true. That's not true, because I'm a pastor. And I don't care what you get in. I will get you out. I promise. But you know what I'm talking about. There is that adrenaline that starts rushing. All of a sudden you have strength that you know not of. You have passion that you know not of. And you're like, devil, I dare. You know, it's like, let the devil come against your house. And you might be tired and you might be weary. But something comes over you. And you'll say, oh, not today. You are not getting my husband today. You, the devil is a liar. Get out of my house. The blood is against you. I put the blood on the doorpost. It's old fashioned. But I bet you I'll put the blood on the doorpost. Devil, you are not getting my house today. Loose my child. Your child's in a crack house. If that's your child, there's something that'll come on you, and you'll climb up in the crack house and say, boy, where are you? This is your mama. You coming out. I said you coming out. I didn't bring you in this world for you to die in a crack house. Come out of it. Something happens to you. It happens. It's the adrenaline that rushes to you. And so, but the problem is we can't live on urgent. That's why people are sick today. That's why they're dying with diseases left and right. Because they're trying to live on urgent. And you know why they're trying to live on urgent? Because they don't have any priorities. Look at somebody and tell them, prioritize your life. And don't let anybody interrupt your priorities. There'll always be people who want to interrupt it. But you got to let them know this is my priority. And there's always exceptions to the rule, but you got to master the rule before you can have the exception. The fifth principle that'll help you be at peace under pressure In the middle of all of this, all of these things, these are the things that I've seen the master do. Okay, so here's the fifth one. He delegated his authority. And he never tried to do it all by himself. So next to delegation, write the words, know who to involve. Because you're going to need some help. Mark 3 and 14 says, he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power and to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. He ordained them and he pulled them close and he poured himself into them. Did they come short sometimes? Probably. Especially when Peter cut the man's ear off. Like, Peter, that is not what he told you to do. Okay? He never told you to cut the man's ear off. That's what happens. But Peter made mistakes. But that's what, see, our problem is, this is what we think. We think, look, I can do it faster by myself. I'd rather just do it than take the time to explain and let somebody else do it. Because I know when I do it, it's going to be done. Right. But see, you know why you can do it right now? It's because you have made enough mistakes to get to the point where now you know how to do it right. But this is the deal. We got to allow somebody else in our lives to have opportunities to get it wrong. Because the only way you'll know how to get it right is by getting it wrong and getting back up and keep moving. And so you got to give somebody else a part of your opportunity. And so whenever you start feeling that the weight of the world is on you, you better find somebody to say, here, help me carry this load. What did Jesus do? He enlisted and he trained disciples because he realized this is too much for me. And if he did that, how much more do we? Here's the sixth one. The sixth principle that will help you have peace under pressure is you got to make a habit out of prayer. Make a habit out of prayer. Did I give you six? I thought I skipped one. Okay, somebody said 4 or 5. Lord Jesus, please bring this church on the same page. Okay, wait. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Neighbor. Preparation. Preparation. Prevents pressure. Prevents pressure. Preparation prevents pressure. Yes. Okay, here's number four. Narrow your focus. Narrow your focus. Right next to the word concentration, put narrow your focus. And for reference, I'm not going to go to it, but go right, Luke 4:42. They were all trying to get Jesus to do different things. But Jesus was the master of focus. If he had not been a master of focus, he could have never set his face like a flint and went toward Jerusalem. But he was determined and he was persistent. And he concentrated his efforts. I said he concentrated his efforts. Just look at somebody and tell him, concentrate your efforts. Here's why. Because when we diffuse our efforts, we are not near as effective as we are or as we could be because it's like light. And in the earlier service, I had my phone up here and I held up my light. And so light that is diffused, what it does, it just simply produces more light. So if I held my phone up and added it to the light that was in the room, it just really produces light. But light that is focused produces laser. I said, light that is focused produces laser. So I could take a leaf and I could put it up under a magnifying glass. And if I leave it up there long enough and the light becomes focused, what happens is that leaf catches on fire. And so when something becomes a laser, there is power that goes with it. So here what we got to do is we got to narrow our focus so that we become powerful in whatever we are focusing on. Because here's the deal. Wherever the focus goes, the power flows. And if your focus is everywhere, then you got little bits of power everywhere. But if you narrow that down and you zoom in on that, it becomes a laser and you start executing things and you check it off of your list because we've done that. We put that behind us. Look at somebody and tell them, I dare you to focus. I dare you to focus. So the fifth principle is that in order to have peace under pressure. Write this down. Jesus delegated his authority. I already told you all that. Never do it on your own. Number six, make a habit of prayer. I hope you wrote that down a minute ago. He was the master at getting away from the crowd. He was the master. They would all be celebrating, going crazy. He would slip out. You know why? I only do that which I hear my Father say do. So I got to get in his presence. Or if I don't, I might be doing other stuff that I don't need to do. I mean, not that it's bad, but it's not what my Father said to. So he would always get away, and he would become empowered from being in the presence of the Father. He would pour out his heart in prayer. Prayer, listen, it's not just a time where you bring your wish list to Jesus. Prayer is a ginormous, I don't know if that's a word, prayer is a ginormous pressure reliever. There's a reason that we sing, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Everybody pick up something in your hand right now, your purse, your Bible, something. Hold it up high. And on the count of three, I want you to drop it into the floor. One. Oh, some of y'all are like, I got to put my iPhone down and grab something else. The devil. Oh, y'all are so funny. Y'all are so funny. Hold it up high. Everybody, one, two, three. When you pray, this is what happens. One, two, three, drop it. That's what it sounds like. That's the sound of taking your burdens to the Lord and leaving them there. Why have a heart attack when you could have a prayer attack? I said, why have a heart attack when you could have a prayer attack? Take it to the Lord and leave it there, because prayer is like going into a decompression chamber. It releases your pressure. It will hold your mind together when all hell is pulling it apart. Prayer will climb in and it will put up boundaries and it will say, devil, you a liar. Lose her mind. It'll hold your life together. It'll hold your career together. It will hold your family together. Prayer will hold an unhappy marriage together until happiness comes again. And prayer is a privilege. It doesn't belong to the angels, as perfect as they are. Prayer is not their privilege. Prayer is the privilege of the people. In spite of our wretchedness, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our faults and failures, in the time of trouble, not in the time that you are holy and everything is perfect in your life, but in the time of trouble, you can come boldly to the throne of grace and get help. Prayer.
Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts and other ministry resources from Cheryl Brady Ministries, visit our website at cherylbrady.com. Also, join us Sundays at the Potter's House, North Dallas, at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Thank you to all of our partners who make resources like this available.